Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody the way God loves somebody? He loves you.
Nothing new under the sun. This is yours truly, Pastor C, in the Sanctuary Studio in Landover Hills, Maryland. I'd like to wish everyone a happy Thursday. Truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall and we will rejoice.
Amen.
And be glad in it.
Amen. Amen.
Yo, my big sister, Sheila G. How you doing?
I am blessed.
Amen. And my good friend and mentor, Dr. G. How you doing, sir?
Good, blessed.
Amen. We are going to get right into the word. We're going to open up with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's in Jesus' name that we humbly bow, God, and thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to get together and study your word. Yes. Father, we pray that you will bless us, that we will be able to study, show ourselves approved unto you, that we can be workmen that need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing your word of truth. Bless us, God, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, share it with others, and as always, we pray that it will be done to your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'd like to wish everyone, amen, a welcome back. I know we've been away for a few weeks. Amen.
Amen.
Hopefully everyone had a good Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. And then we had some life stuff happen on last,
right.
last week. But we thank God he's a keeper.
Yes, he is.
Amen. And we're still studying the book of Matthew, and we're in the 9th chapter. We want to go over at the 9th verse where Jesus is intermingling with what they called sinners or publicans or people that church folk, if we can put it in that vernacular, will have a tendency to look down upon because you are not like them. Amen.
Amen.
And, you know, it always is amazing how when we get a little education or we feel like we have something or our shoes might be a little, you know, not patent leather, but leather now. Where you used to wear patent leather, now you wear leather. And, or you used to wear Maypops, and now you wear Jordans. Now, well, you get to the point where you think you have arrived. We have arrived.
Right.
And you begin to look down and almost forgot where you came from.
Amen.
But Jesus had a purpose. And this is what I like, Sheila G, not a G. Jesus had a purpose. He was to follow the will of his Father.
That's right.
Amen.
He came to follow the will of his Father. He didn't get sidetracked about what you thought, what he thought, what they thought. He said, I came to do the will of the Father.
Follow direction.
Amen. Follow the plan. Can you imagine this world if everybody just followed God's instructions?
And we would be like Jesus.
just follow the instructions.
But we're so easily distracted by the things of this world that that's where the challenge comes in.
So let's pick up in chapter 9 and verse 9. It says, and as Jesus passed forth from them, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom and said unto him, follow me. And he arose and followed him.
I mean,
Jesus just simply, you know, spoke to the man, and he had such an influence, such a godly presence, that the man didn't hesitate, but he immediately followed him. And this was a Jewish person who was in a position of authority that mingled with the Roman government, that collected taxes from the Jews. So he was sort of like in between. He was a necessary evil for the Romans, because that's the way they would tax and get money, so they had to deal with him. And then he was a pain in the butt for the Jews, because he took money. So he was hated by you know, everybody. But he saw the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but when God makes himself real, when you have an encounter with God,
right,
you can no longer be the same.
And that's because as you continue to grow in Christ, with every experience that you have, from the time when you were young and you were still trying to figure things out, and as you grow and as you draw closer, every time you have, and it's hard to explain, an encounter where it's just you and the Lord, it's just amazing, and it's one of those things that you'll be 100 years old, and you'll still have an encounter with him, and it will still just blow your mind as to how he just operates in our lives.
You call those daily encounters. Dr. G?
You're right. You know, and I was sitting here talking about that, thinking about that song by Shirley Caesar, you know, the one where she and her sister and brother would go out and play church. And then one day, they were out in the yard playing church. And her sister came in running, said, Shirley's out there playing to Jesus. And mother went to the door and said, no, she's not playing. So, I mean, it's hard to come in contact with Christ and then not be changed.
And that's what I love about Jesus when he said, and I'd be lifted up from the earth. He would draw all men unto him. But we lift up so much stuff on man. My God.
Oh, my goodness.
We lift up the Redskins, the Cowboys, the Giants, our cars, and the pastors, and the deacons. We lift up everything but the name of Jesus.
Oh, that's right.
And truth be known, none of the stuff I read them off is going to save anybody.
Amen.
May make you feel good for a moment.
It's not going to save anybody.
Not for a lifetime.
And so Jesus came and he said, follow me. And he says, and he arose and followed him.
Mm-hmm.
And so now here comes the rest of the folk. Now, once you've been born again, once you've been saved, once you become a follower of Christ, now what's going to happen is some folk ain't going to believe it, because they want to tell you what you used to do.
Right. They want to keep you back there.
Remember you
did.
You ain't no tax collector.
Come on.
Now he's talking about you this religious person. You lying.
And then people like that are so judgmental like that, that's one of my pet peeves, is judgmental people, is that it's almost like they're watching and waiting for you to miss it. You know, instead of being joyous and saying, oh, you know what, I'm glad you got Lord in your life. I'm glad you made that change. I want you to stay focused, keep it going, don't get distracted. I couldn't be more proud of you. As opposed to being an encourager, whereas I tend to, I don't care if you take a half a step, but I want to keep pushing you to push more and more, because we always, all of us have our little isms and schisms every single day.
Amen. And this is the thing where if we look at this from a today perspective, there's none righteous.
Right.
None. So Peter got up from his tax collecting where he's ripping off his home folk and probably was hiding money from the folk he was working for.
Matthew.
So he was ripping off money from the Jews and hiding money from the Romans. And both of them, they despised him.
Amen.
But if God can use a rip-off artist, come on now. Extortion.
Amen.
He can use anybody.
Amen.
Amen. I always didn't have nothing on him.
Nope, no.
He's a bad man. And so now he had this encounter, now he invites Jesus to his house. And you know, when you first got saved, you have some characters in your circle.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
I mean, we used to have some characters in my circle. We used to have folks that did this, that, and
all
that. Come on.
Keep it real.
Come on, let's keep it real. A little bit of everything in the circle. Amen. And so he had an encounter with Jesus, invited Jesus to his house. So the rest of the crew showed up. Let's go to verse 10 and look at the rest of the crew. Matthew 9, verse 10. And it came to pass, as Jesus said at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Can you see this now? The church folk sitting up there with the club folk.
Hello. Come on.
Eating dinner.
That's right.
And you know they didn't sit next to each other. We're going to sit over here with our folks. And they sit over there with their folks. And I don't know why Jesus got it in
You're right. And, you know, and if you think about it, get that picture in your mind. I mean, isn't that what we do today? Isn't that what folks do in church? You got this little clip here, and you got that little clip over there. Then the preacher is supposed to preach to both of them.
That's right.
And don't take sides.
Yeah, you get a phone call after service. but can you picture this? Here's Jesus coming to eat in the house, publicans and sinners. Right, and his disciples sitting down there.
Mm-hmm.
Now everybody's talking about they're unclean, they're ceremonial unclean, mm-hmm. they're not right with God,
mm-hmm.
and you know they were big in ceremony back then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were certain things you were supposed to do. If you touch somebody, you're supposed to wash.
Yeah.
And here Jesus is with Matthew, the great extortioner, ripping everybody off, sitting down breaking bread with Jesus.
And everybody's
looking at him like, what in the world is Jesus doing to these publican sinners? And then you got the good old Pharisee folks.
Yeah, they come out
the religious rulers. The ones who are very pious and fast and
religious.
Have an outward appearance of holiness.
Traditionalists.
But on the inside, they're just as dirty as anybody else. Jesus called them whitewashed sepulchres, full of dead men.
Dead men's bones.
Called them a generation of vipers. Just didn't pull any punches with them. And so here they are, they want to pass judgment on the sinners that Jesus is trying to minister to.
Right.
And so that's the thing the church is, why do we feel like that we can go around people that need saving in a self righteous mode?
That's right.
They'll never receive Christ,
right,
if we approach them from a self righteous standpoint.
Right, and you being polite by saying self righteous. What it is arrogance.
Opus.
Just being very, very arrogant and forgetting where God has brought you and forgetting that it's really not about you. It's about reaching others. It's about allowing God using you to reach other people. And you can't do that if you're coming across as if you're so much better than anyone else. Because we're not. We're all sinners. We all have come short. We're all still growing in grace. And it really is for us to go out and teach and preach and help to draw others to get some of what we have. But so that in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of everything that we're doing, that they know there's still hope.
Amen.
Because Satan's gonna keep putting it out there. It's like, you may as well forget it, because you out there, you way out there, and at this point, Lord ain't gonna have to come out of grace. That's it. And that's why we're gonna have to make people that are us.
Exactly.
It's not so much of okay, I want you to come be where I am, because I'm on the street myself. I'm still trying to get there. But at least allow me, if I've been in this journey a little bit longer, to meet you where you are, so we can walk this thing together. But I can't do that if I'm arrogant. I can't do that if I'm self-righteous. I can't do that if I'm going to act like I'm a rat. I can't do that if I'm constantly criticizing or judging or saying you've done this wrong and pointed out this wrong. You know, one of the best ways to help someone to do something right is to say that if you do this, these are going to be the consequences.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you do this, this is how you'll be blessed.
Right.
That's how you do it. You don't look down your nose. You don't point your finger.
Amen.
You don't drag people down. You help them to come out.
Amen. And Dr. G, a lot of that has to do with the love of God that's inside of you.
Amen. The love of God and a true desire to want to be like Christ. It's sure that you was just sitting here thinking that so often once we come to join the church, we claim that we've accepted Christ, and that once we get these positions within the church, something seems to happen to us that we forget all logic and all sanity. You know, we think that we, within our minds, okay, because I deacon, whatever, or president, or whoever,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, we are so much better. And a lot of that comes from not really understanding God's word. And again, not drawing close through the study of it, through a good prayer life. You know, we hit and miss. We get a little bit, and we think we know it all.
Mm-hmm.
But yet we don't realize that a position is just a position.
Mm-hmm.
And we ought to use those positions to help draw other people.
Amen.
That really, we're basically all servants.
That's right.
There it is.
There it is.
There it is. And so when we look at this picture in your mind, you got the sinners, you got the disciples, and now you got the Pharisees.
Mm.
All of these people are in the presence of Jesus, and Jesus knows everybody's motive.
Amen.
You can't pull anything on him. He knows what's going on.
Amen.
And so he knew that the Pharisees were going to have something to say. And how many of us know, if whatever you do, especially a pastor, I don't care what you do,
somebody
always has
something
to say.
Amen, somebody. You gonna make me run around this church. I'm telling you, church folk are some of the whinest and complainingest people I have ever met in my entire life. Do you believe that God is good or what? If it's not your way, it doesn't mean that it has to be the highway.
Amen.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's the wrong way. It's just another way.
Amen.
And if it's all going to lead up to being in the glory of God, it doesn't matter.
Amen.
And we do, and that's one of Satan's biggest thing, is he gets people all up in their feelings. Then everybody loses focus. And the focus is, what does God want? Is this giving God glory?
Amen.
Is this giving God glory? Maybe it's not the way that I would do it. Maybe it's not the way that you would do it. But at the end of the day, if I can help it, even if it's going to the left, if I can step in and pull it a little bit to the right in a positive way so that it gives God glory, because it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's not about you looking good. It's not about me looking good. It's about God looking good. And if you're sitting up here on opposite ends and you're getting your lips poked out, whining and complaining, how is God getting glory out of that?
Dr. G?
I don't know how you touch that after all that. But you're right. I mean, you know, God can get the glory out of that. And again, you know, we're sitting here, everybody sitting there with the little noses turned up and, you know, all that.
It's like we were introduced our unpacked, and we were doing this our first play called Air Power, and it had so many dynamics to it. It had the dynamic of the supernatural. It had the dynamic of what was behind the scene with the preachers, what was behind the scene with the musicians, and just what was going on in the spirit realm. And along with the preaching, along with the acting, there was interacting with music. And someone, we were playing some music, and someone said, that sounds like club music. and all of that, and we were like, wow. Do they really understand what we're trying to do?
Exactly. And if you read, like my pastor said, if you read your Bible, if you study the Word, if you look at how Jesus drew people to Him, it wasn't sitting all traditional. And He did some of the most bizarre things. He sat and talked to a Samaritan woman.
Yeah.
And then this was on total opposite ends.
They don't deal with each other.
They don't deal with each other. Anyway, they don't lost them.
Right.
They worship idols.
Right.
And he said, I'll give you some. So how can we sit in our little humanness and criticize what God wants to use to get His word to His people?
Amen.
There is nothing in the Bible that says that. It just says on 150, Thunder went down and make a door for me.
That's right.
He didn't say how noise had to be.
But that was just one of the things where He said, whatever you do, somebody is going to have
something
to say. All the time.
But that person that was in the club and heard that music and then heard the message, that too powerful sermon, that person can be changed. Jesus knows what's going on.
That's right.
You always want to have a Pharisee, somebody in the camp, with
something
to say, not focused in on that person needs to be saved.
Right. Not focusing on giving God the glory.
It was funny. But we have to look the way Jesus handled this. Let's look at verse 11. In Matthew 9, verse 11, it says, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto His disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners?" In other words, we shouldn't have anything to do with those folks.
Amen.
Why is He sitting down and eating with them? In other words, what He was saying was, we are better than them.
Amen.
And how dare them want to intermingle with us?
Come on.
And we ought to not deal with them, not realizing that the only way that you were saved is that somebody that knew Jesus dealt with your sinful behind.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
That's the way it happened.
Amen.
Somebody who knew Jesus dealt with our sinful behind.
That's right.
Am I right?
That's right. They had to introduce us.
Mm-hmm.
We had to end up making a choice to go that way, but
right.
somebody
but there was
had,
a fight
right,
with Christ.
Right, someone had to plant the seed. Generation to generation, just like you talk about your family, you tell your children, you tell your grandchildren, you talk about our ancestors, we talk about civil rights. It's the same thing. But somebody planted a seed in you so that you could draw close to Christ. Now it's time for you to reach out. And I'm not even going to say reach down because we're all on the same level.
Mm-hmm.
We're all sinners.
Yeah.
But to reach out and help, plant a seed to help someone else as opposed to criticizing and waiting for them to quote unquote get themselves together.
Oh my goodness.
To be even allowed to be permitted in the church.
Dr. G.
You know, sitting there thinking, I could write a book about my early pastoring days.
Amen.
Because had one deacon, and I had allowed this young lady to sing in the choir, even though she had a live in, and he didn't think that was right.
Mm hmm.
And he felt that I should remove her out of the choir.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to let the man know that that's not up to us. What better way to get her introduced to Christ and convinced that her lifestyle, let her stay right there and in God's praise.
Exactly.
He'll do the convincing and the convicting.
That's right.
And he backed off.
Amen.
Yeah.
And so what Jesus had to do in verse 12 is he had to get these folk straight.
As he always does.
And so let's go to Matthew 9, verse 12, and then we're going to go to the phone line. He said, but when Jesus heard that he said unto them, they that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick.
So even in the midst of all that was going on, Jesus heard that. It was almost like they were saying it, but they were halfway saying it to the side of the mouth. Because he said, but when Jesus heard that, meaning that, okay, I heard you. He's like, let me address you, because like you say, you're talking behind my back. And so it says when Jesus heard that, he said, okay, I'm off the phone. Let's stop up. We're going to be with you right now.
Right.
So you can stop it with your mumbling and complaining and grumbling. And like for his church, he said unto them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick.
Right. In other words, he said, why am I going to go see with all the saved folks? And all the unsaved folks over there dying. Seriously, they.
Right.
He came to save the sick that were lost.
That's right.
So why do we cozy up with just saved folks?
Right.
I'm getting ready to get passionate now. This is my thing right here. Is why won't the saved folks go look for unsaved folks?
Right.
We're going to wear our suit and tie.
Right.
We're going to look pretty on Sunday.
Yeah.
Get our little fix for whatever hour it is. Amen. And then we're going
to
go out and don't want to tell nobody
about the Lord.
Anything about God.
That's right.
And then come back and do it all over again. And then wonder why the world is jacked up.
Right.
Because the disciples who are the physician that can heal won't tell the people that are sick.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cure for the sick.
That's right. That's right. And you become so self-righteous that you can only deal with certain people. And when we're around certain people, we don't want one to say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, or I'm blessed.
Oh, my God. Dr. G, help me out here.
Well, you know, people, especially folk in the church, they forget that the church, which is us, is a hospital for sin, sick souls.
Amen.
That's right.
It's not for those, as Jesus said, you know, but they that are sick.
Mm-hmm.
Sick and sin.
Right.
And that's what we're supposed to be trying to help.
We don't want them folks.
Mm-hmm.
wear a miniskirt. Come on, man. He still smells like weed.
Amen.
Come on, they're going to mess our church up.
Amen.
I know I've shared this story before, but I tell you when it, again in the beginning. That's why Pastor and I are so passionate about this, because when you started passing it, that church was dying because of judgmental people that had been in Christ for so long that if somebody strange came in that weren't at a certain caliber, they gave them look.
They
were the friends. Yes. And some of the young people in that area had started coming to the church. They didn't have clothes to get dressed up in, so they wore pants.
Mm-hmm.
So I always got dressed nice for church, but I said, okay, let me meet people where they are because they were being comfortable. So I started wearing my pants.
Oh,
they didn't tow the pants. They went to the pastor and said, Pastor, the first lady's wearing pants.
And
Pastor said, here's my Bible. You show me in the Bible where it says that she can't wear pants to church. And within the next few years, they wear their pants.
Broke the mold.
Started the truth.
So here Jesus is saying, I need to deal with sick folk because they need to get well.
Mm-hmm.
Folk that are whole don't need a physician.
Mm-hmm.
He's simply following his Father's instructions.
Amen.
Right.
Simply following his Father's will,
right,
that he would come to those that were in need of spiritual healing.
Right.
When was the last time we just said, okay, let's do that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
And not get dressed up and come and entertain ourselves. Amen.
Yeah.
It's almost like we got a club.
Right.
The church is a club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you play my favorite song, I get my step on. preach a word. You better hoop. If it ain't hoop, I'm not gonna hear him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go home. Say we had a good time. Like we had a good time at the club.
Right. Okay.
We'll see you next week at the club.
But at least at the club, you share with everybody but a good time. At the church, you don't want to go out and share it. You keep it to yourself. Keep it in your little four walls. Instead of going and telling somebody what a good time, how the Lord bless you.
And then I like the way Jesus, he's like, you figure it out. In the next verse. You know how you tell people something, and then you say, well, you figure it out. Jesus, I'm going to tell you something, you go figure that thing out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to bring it all to you. Now you figure out, since you don't understand, since you won't be so and so and so, here's what it is. The folks that are whole need a physician.
Right.
You can't figure it out, well, you go figure it out. In other words, if you can't figure it out, you're going to be short.
That's right.
So, in verse 13, Jesus said,
He was rough.
He said, but go ye and learn that
what that means.
He said, while you over there trying to figure it out, I've already figured out, and I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you over there trying to figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times you have to do that. Why y'all over there acting stupid?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go over there and do what I need to do, and hopefully you'll catch up.
That's right. That's one thing that I know my husband says, and I know you said it as well, and I know a lot of pastors do. It's like when there's a lot of ignorance given things going on in church, it's like, you know what? I'm staying focused on God's vision. I'm putting these people in God's hands.
There you go.
Lord, you deal with them. But whatever they're doing is not going to distract me from the mission of the Lord. So, Holy Spirit, you deal with it. Because I've been lost my religion. And I'm not leaving my religion for somebody else.
Amen. Okay. And it's what Jesus is saying. Y'all go for me. Here's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get it, but when you hopefully before it's everlasting too late, you'll catch on, is what he's trying to say. But this is what I'm going to do. So he picks back up and he said, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but what? Sinners to repent. So y'all go in and get your little click or whatever y'all got going on. Get it straight. Hopefully you get it straight before it's too late. But this is what we're going to do.
That's right. And the fact of the matter is, those sinners and those tax collectors, Republicans, were the ones that were hungry for it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you think you've already arrived, you've already gotten there,
yeah.
So you know what,
so
go ahead, do your thing, but I'm going to go, because I'm a God of choice, I'm a God of free will, and I'm going to go to these people and tell them that here is the free will for you to repent and turn away from your sin. But you want to stay stuck on stupid, so you go right on over there.
Exactly.
And I'm going to do my Father's business. For those who they may be categorized as publicans, tax collectors, or sinners, or bad people, but there's something in there that I can plant the seed and I can help them versus leaving them in their dire situation.
Amen.
But you know what? Now you can understand why they had to get rid of Jesus. They were enjoying themselves.
Yeah. The high salute and then look bad.
Sitting up there, then he gonna come do this.
But logic.
Oh no, we got to get rid of him.
But I love the way he said it. He said, you're gonna learn what that means. Okay, you're gonna figure it out.
Like you say your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, that ain't made sense what you just said. I'll do that to Jessica in a minute. And I'll say, okay, what did you just say? And I'll repeat it back to her. She's like, oh, yeah, that did make sense. Did
yeah.
And that's pretty much what
he's saying, right?
But, okay.
I don't think they're going to get saved. Basically, you're saying, I don't think they're going to get saved if somebody that doesn't
tell
her.
Hello? Because you're not doing it.
Hey, man, we ain't going to be a phone line.
They had a ride.
They
had
a phone line.
That
wasn't
part of their job.
The studio audience. We're going to ask the question. Has the church forgot about the sinners? Has the church forgot about the sinners? And that Jesus asked us to go to them? We're going to start with the studio audience. Has the church forgot about the sinners?
In my opinion, I think they have. I think just my opinion from what I've kind of seen on TV and especially seen from a lot of these mega churches, I think people have gotten away from what the purpose of church is. You know, you guys say people all of a sudden are like holier than thou, and it's almost like you're worshiping the positions and the pastors and everybody else, but you really forget, you know, as you guys alluded to, that it's like a hospital. It's like you go to get help, to get, you know, whatever it is you need so you can go do God's will and do it the rest of the week. But as you said, people go to church, they have some people have a good time, but then they don't talk about it when they go, you know, anywhere else. It's like, yes, go 2 hours, had a good time with them, then boom, you back up.
Oh, man.
The whole concept of church has kind of done a 360, if you will. Like, people are really just really losing the focus on what the purpose is that we're there, and then it shows. That's the other thing. You can feel that spirit when we.
Yeah.
And I've even told Pastor Greg, when he had to kind of talk to me, I said, you know, we've gone to some places, I've never really done this before, but I can feel something.
Churches have forgotten what the purpose is, and a lot of us are entertaining one another, you know, and I think that we do need to go out and do a little more outreach, you know, and even though...
In order to outreach, you got to reach out.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
but then you got to know that, too, to have something to go with.
Sometimes I think that when some of the people do go out and do
call outreach, they're still not doing what they need to do. So we as individuals have to do the reaching out, as Pastor said.
Amen.
We got to look at each and every one of ourselves so that we can do what we're supposed to do.
That's right.
And not just wait on that church, what we call building, mm-hmm. to do it.
Uh-oh. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We collectively have failed because the Pharisees, they didn't want people to come out of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes me to what Paul was teaching Timothy,
mm-hmm.
in 2 Timothy 2:24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive or be quarrelsome, but be gentle to all men, apt to teach,
yep.
patient. There's a harvest out there,
mm-hmm.
whether you want to recognize it or not.
Mm.
And there's some sick folk out there. And we have the remedy for them, and that is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And it is our responsibility in the body of Christ so others can come,
mm-hmm.
and get some of this pain medicine.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I just sitting up here thinking that some of us, we have family members who don't know who Christ is.
Amen.
And we're going to reach out to them. You know, we think we got to go outside somewhere. And sometimes all we got to do is look around us.
That's right.
Out to our family members.
That's right.
You know, and start there. You know, that's a starting point for some of us. You know, I remember when I first started growing to know who Christ was. And one of my sisters had told me, you just listen to that old church music all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and would turn the stuff off, you know. And I would turn it back on. And I would just say sometimes, maybe, don't you try listening to it.
There you go.
You know, it might help.
There you go.
And so, you know, every time she turned it off, I turn it back on. You know, and after a while, she started listening to
sometimes.
So we just got to reach out to our family members at the starting point,
mm-hmm.
and branch on out there.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's right.
Absolutely. All right, we're going to go to the phone lines, and we call your last four digits of your phone number. We'll ask you, as a church, forgot about the sisters. We're going to go to last four digits, 1741. 1741, you are on the air.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. Hello.
I think sometimes the church forget about the true reason why they are saved, what their true purpose and mission is. A lot of times we don't want to deal with other people because it reminds us sometimes we're not where we should be. We're not where we can deal with them. And a lot of times we think we are above them, but we have to constantly ask God to keep us humble and meek and keep us focused on our purpose and what we have been called to do, to be a witness unto him. Because that's the only way people are going to come. And remember that we all were sinners saved by God's grace. We all come to that hospital. And that's the only way that we're going to see God is to go to the hospital and go to the great physician and get healed.
Amen.
There is no substitute.
Amen. 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 Well, thank you for your comment tonight. I like that. I like that. Everybody got to go to the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to go to last four digit, 9772. 9772, you're on the air.
Good evening, everybody. I almost missed my point today because the holiday that threw me all off. But I, like I said before, the good Lord gave me a second chance, put me on the right trail. I don't hear the things that conversation that other people say to them, to believe in Jesus and stay on the right track. And I don't have to go but listen to somebody else.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. All right, we're going to go to last four digits, 3494. You are on the air. 3494. All right. We're going to go down to next caller, 7008. 7008. You're on there.
Yes, how y'all doing? This is Jamal from the Heart of God, and I think that the church has forgot about the real reason. And what the church like to do is just, you know, save it all to themselves, and it gives them the opportunity to look down on the people that don't know, because they don't want to tell them. They want to have it all to themselves, and that's how, you know, you even turn young people away, because young people like to say, well, you know, they look down on me just because I dress this way or I do this certain type of thing. Well, you know, we have to all understand that God met us at our level. So when we understand that, you know, we have to be patient with the people and patient and know that, you know, we can't play God. We got to let God, you know, do his thing, but we also have to just to be there just to plant our seed.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your comment tonight. But Dr. G, I think we struck a nerve. I think we struck a nerve that Jesus said, and I like what caller said, that everybody's kind of come to the hospital and see the great physician and get that sin sick soul medication.
That's right.
Everybody needs that. And we have to stop acting like we didn't have to get the medicine from the physician.
We were born healthy.
That goes contrary to what the Bible says then.
Amen.
It says we were all born and addicted.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I'm looking at is Jesus, he just did basic.
Mm-hmm.
He just went and met the people. And he went and he just went and he told them about the good news.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get to the point, like Sheila G said, we have to meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
We have to come to them in a way. And this is what we were talking about with our new Unpacked, is with Air Power. It's an unconventional type of worship.
Mm-hmm.
where you meet people where they are.
Mm-hmm.
And the example I use is that the majority of us who are, I would say, over 30, remember 8-track Take Place.
Amen.
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 And if we had an 8-track and we had Silent Night on it.
Look out now.
And we put that joker in there and play Silent Night.
Amen.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. Fast forward, you know, to 2016, nobody has now an 8-track player in your car.
Amen.
Right?
But they can still hear Silent Night.
Amen.
But you still can hear Silent Night.
Yeah.
Over the XM radio.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. That's
Amen.
Right. It's adjusting.
So it's still Silent Night.
Mm-hmm.
But we just not playing on an 8-track player. We're getting it through the sunlight,
through the radio. That's right.
Same gospel.
Come on.
Exactly.
Different method.
Mm-hmm.
But you got people that been in church. Well, we've done it like this for 25 years.
Tradition.
And like the last young man said, there's going to be some young folk that's not going to respond to how you did it 25 years ago.
Right.
So you better get some XM satellite to play that Silent Night,
right,
because they're not going to get it on your intro.
Right. It'll sit right there. And that's the thing. And that's what this human real issue is. Those of us that have been in the Christian walk for a long time, There are a lot of church folk that don't truly get into God's word. Because, okay, yes, you can wear your suit. Yes, you can come to church 2 hours and sing your songs and do whatever. But if you don't know God's word, you don't know that God is telling you, whatever you do on Sunday, don't you keep it to yourself. You need to get out here and you need to draw others unto me. Draw them unto me. Because if you go to Bible study, if you go to prayer service, if you really truly study your word, you'll see, it'll be compelled in your heart. You have to share a word, even if it's in a grocery store, tell somebody that you're blessed. But what happens is you become so traditionalist and so tradition that if as long as I do my habit, like the Pharisees, as long as I do a habit and I'm stuck to my religion, then I'm okay. No, you need to study God's word, and you will see that God is doing it over again. Possible to, like I said, if you set up a water,
come on.
To do whatever venue possible to draw others. Wine at a wedding, pour water in. And his mama said, just go ahead, just do it.
What did he say?
Just do what he said. They're like, this don't make no sense.
He's going to keep pouring this water.
If you study and you read those things, you'll understand that God is not in a box.
Right.
God,
just like the way we do Bible study.
Exactly.
Bible study is different from what we did years ago.
Yeah.
You're on the radio, you're on your website.
Right.
It's different.
Yeah.
But some people are stuck that they say, I'm not into that phone, I'm not into the radio, I'm not into this, I need that, get it. Face-to-face, but they still
don't come to that either.
Come on, y'all just gonna get me started. And the thing is, the ones that talk of us are getting into that tradition. When you go back and you think about our early forefathers, now, they would have died to get what we had.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, they were sneaking to worship God. And here we are, discovered we were so available, but we don't have time.
That's true.
And the thing is, that really bothers me, we try to make it as easy as we can. We just don't have time. But yet, we've got to go through something in order for the Lord to smack us down. To get us to open that word and understand that we have not yet arrived.
Amen.
I mean, what's with that?
Amen.
But yes, we've got to change. You know, we've got to find different ways of getting the word out to people where they are.
Right.
Amen.
Because folk don't want to hear it.
That's
right.
Amen.
And that's what Jesus did.
And that's what he did, but then they'll criticize everything that you're trying to do. But won't use the gift of God. That's the part that makes me chuckle. It's like, look, I'm out here running as hard and as long as I can. You laugh at me because I'm not running as fast as the baby.
One of my favorite expressions that my husband asks me all the time is, one monkey doesn't stop the show. So you know what? If you want to sit on your butt and do nothing and just sit and whine and complain, go ahead. But you know what? Even if I have to go by myself, I'm going to do what God tells me to do because I'm not doing it for you.
Right.
I'm doing it unto the Lord. And I want everybody that I know to get some of what God has to offer. And if I plant the seed, they can water, you can water, they can go, they can take it or leave it. But if you don't hinder me.
Right.
Don't hinder me. And okay, you just want to be stuck in your ways. You just want to do things a certain way. You want to be like Burger King and have it your way. Okay, well, you go on over there and have it your way. But one monkey doesn't stop the show. If I have to go by myself, we have to go by ourselves. Like you said, you got to put this thing on and nobody there but you. So we're going to do this.
Amen.
Whether you complain about it or not. This world just either get on the train and focus or sit in the corner and be quiet.
Thank you.
But you know what? That goes back. I mean, everything that we've said, it still goes back But see, people need to understand that this whole business of being with Christ, it's a one-on-one personal relationship mm-hmm. with the Lord. And what Jesus was trying to do was to get people to that point where they could understand.
Right.
You know, how can you get a homeless person to understand you need Jesus unless you help them
right.
to come out of the homeless situation?
Right.
How can you get someone who's hungry to want to hear about Christ unless you feed them? But you know, we've gotten into the little bag that we've gotten, okay, because we're working, we're making a certain amount, making good salaries, we're still cheap. Don't want to give anything, give them little dollars, put them dollars in church and think they're supposed to do something. But yet, it's a personal thing between you and the Lord. And most folk within the church just hasn't gotten it.
Amen.
It requires effort.
Right. Put the work in.
Something that you don't want to do. You don't have
effort.
Time for that.
Right,
and
put the work in.
Jesus gave his life. That's the kind of effort that disciples will do. Disciples
mm-hmm.
give their life. And you got some people in the church will give their life. I call them the faithful few will
Amen.
Run themselves
yeah.
ragged.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 And be willing to give their all.
That's right. That's
so they can't move anymore,
mm-hmm.
and you'll see people say, oh, so and so was so faithful, so and so was so faithful.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord called them home. Why did they call them home?
Like
warm out. God said, come on up.
It's a thing where we're almost in love with this world, but we're
yeah.
in the world, but we're not of the world.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a nice world,
yeah.
don't get me wrong.
Right.
The world is nice.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord made everything good.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not to be compared for the new heaven and the new earth.
Right.
That Revelation is talking about and the mission of, or the great commission of spreading the good news of Jesus Christ, that medicine, to what he calls in that verse 13, to call... he said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if we could get that somewhere on our calendar during the month, that we come to be disciples to call sinners to repentance, and just maybe a couple times on your calendar a month, do something that will carry this out.
Amen.
If we could get everybody in the church that say they know Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, twice a month or three times a month, do something that will help call sinners to repentance.
Amen.
We will make a difference where we were.
Amen.
And where we are.
Amen.
You know, Deacon, close us out. One last comment, close us out.
There's, I was sitting here thinking about, there was something that Pastor used to always, sometimes he still says it, but he would always end his prayers when he would pray in church, even when he wasn't pastor, where he said he wanted God to say, well, but my good and faithful servant, you've been faithful over a few things. Come on up.
Yeah.
And I always touch that one scripture, and to me that's like the perfect way, because that is really what will drive us,
mm-hmm.
is because, yes, at some time we're going to close our eyes. And we're going to need Jesus.
Yeah.
And what you know, and the last thing I want the Lord to say, I gave you all these gifts. I gave you all these opportunities, and you just sat on them.
I know you're not.
Bye. I want them to say, well done. And in order for it to be well done, we have to plant the seed and reach out to others. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all your many blessings. We thank you for this lesson, Lord. I pray, Father, that you will touch each and every one of our hearts, Lord, so that we will continue to carry your word out to others, Lord. Lord, if it's nothing more than to plant the seed so you can learn it, Lord. Lord, I pray for all of our congregation, all of our members, Lord, all those that listen, Lord, on, Father, that they too will be compelled to go out and to reach out to others, and not to feel so high and mighty that they've arrived, but that if they were even become even better and be even stronger and learn from others as well, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to use the things that you've given us to draw others to you. In your precious name we do pray. Amen.
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 That's going to do it for us tonight. We'll see you again on next Thursday night. Good night.
Good. Amen. Somebody.